Has anyone in your family recently become a Christian? Or anyone among your friends? Have you had the experience, say within the last few months, that someone that you know has actually been changed by the grace of God? Or even in the past year? Or perhaps I'd even say, have you ever had that happen? I hope you have. There's something wonderfully inspiring about seeing the grace of God working in a person's life, changing them from the inside out, filling them with joy, and seeing such people live entirely different lives and have entirely different experiences. Such things are possible for Christians in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to suggest to you, and for us all to have this in mind, that that's the normal pattern for a Christian. Now, of course, I recognize that a child can be brought up in a Christian home, and that if children are brought up in a Christian home and they're nurtured in the admonition of the Lord, they're really brought up in the Lord, they can come right on up into faith without recognizing that they've ever been anywhere else. They just walk right along in, but then they will have this experience of living in godly fashion and living in joy. But you know, in our country, in our day and time, such people there are fewer and fewer of them. The great majority of children and young people and people grow up without any training in the ways of the Lord. They actually grow up just like human beings, just like people of the community. That's what they are. Now, when such people become Christian, it's always a wonderful thing. And I'm inclined to think that the church actually lives on this sort of thing. I'm inclined to think to myself that if you were to think that you were to see, perhaps, a congregation somewhere that seems to be dead and, we say, apathetic, you know, no life in them. The services are dull. The going to church is just a matter of a routine matter. We all go to church. We all listen to the choir sing. We listen to the preacher preach. We hope we'll get out inside of an hour, and then we'll think we've done something. We've gone to church. Well, now, if you're in a place like that, perhaps you'll be conscious of the fact that right in that very church, there will be homes that are burdened, hearts that are burdened and torn. I was going to say homes that are broken up. You will find people living ungodly lives. You'll see people addicted to all manner of appetite and of indulgence and even of vice going on right inside the church. You'll see young people growing up in unbelief. You'll see young people as a teenage don't want anything to do with the church at all, and when they get up into college, they just laugh at it. That's what you're going to see in the average congregation. And you might say, well, what can ever be done? Well, I was going to suggest something to you. If you had, in a congregation like that, a case every now and again of where somebody, known to everyone in the congregation, was really converted, really changed, just changed his whole way of living, you'd be surprised what it would do to the congregation. Now, something like that can come to our minds when we go on in our study in the book of Acts. We're studying in the book of Acts in the third chapter, and we have just been looking at the case when Peter and John dealt with that lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And now I want to read on in verse 9, in chapter 3, verse 9. And let me read on about this incident and see how it went on. We read, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Now stop and think a minute. These were people who had gone to the temple to worship. I don't know what they expected to see. They had gone to the temple to worship, to go through the routine religious exercises such as they had. There was a man there that had been lame. Everybody knew he was lame. He had been put there day after day throughout the years. He had been lame from his mother's womb all his lifetime. And he had been begging. He was a well-known beggar. Suddenly, they see this man walking. His legs have strength. He is able to walk. And he's running and walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, I need to tell you, I just expect they came back. Don't you think they would? Why, you know they would. This is the strength of Christian testimony. You know, when the person becomes a Christian, it's open. The person that becomes a Christian, it's seen outside. That's one of the wonders of the Christian gospel. Paul could say about it, this thing was not done on a corner. And if any of you are wondering about being out-and-out Christians, let me tell you something. Being out-and-out Christians, out in open, broad daylight, that's regular. That's the way in which it goes. Secret Christians, people who really do believe in the Lord but don't openly say so, that's a good deal like secret marriages. I appreciate the fact that such a marriage can be real and it's kept secret, but you and I both know it doesn't have any joy. It can't have any gladness, and it misses a great deal. I want to tell you right now, the normal thing is that when a girl gets married, she shows off her wedding ring. In fact, when she gets engaged, she shows off her engagement ring. Well, now, if people do that way normally, about ordinary things in this world, you can be sure it will happen spiritually when a person becomes a Christian. And when I read this, all the people saw him, my heart just sings. Because that's the way it goes. And in that congregation I was talking about, if you have a case of a real conversion, everybody knows it. And what a wonderful thing it is. There was a saying I picked up a long time ago. The testimony of a newborn soul carries great weight. And it really does, anywhere that you see it. And they knew who this man was. This is the strength of the actual events. It isn't a case of promise. He's not going to say he's going to do better. He is better. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Mind you, these people were not yet wondering about the Lord. They were not yet amazed at the power of God, because these people did not particularly realize that's what it was. But they saw the actual change in the man. There was no doubt about that. And now we look at the 11th verse. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. That's what I was trying to get at. You know, he had no question about that congregation gathering. They came together, greatly wondering. I wonder if you and I have ever stopped to really understand or to analyze why unbelievers don't come to church. I couldn't give you all the reasons, but I can tell you one thing that'll bring them to church. You know, people will always turn out to see a fire. Anytime a fire breaks out in any community, it's no time at all, the streets filled with people. They'll come to see a fire. Well, if they'll come to see a fire in the middle of the night, I'll tell you right now, they'll come to see a fire in a church. And if you have things happening in a congregation, you know what kind of things am I talking about? The kind of things that are wonderful. You see, the people were wondering. Did you notice how many times that word wonder comes in there? Well, let me use it now. Here was something wonderful, something people were amazed about. And I can think, and I hope, as I was saying when I began, I could wish that every person who hears my voice can think back to somebody whose life was changed in such a way that it was wonderful, that you just couldn't help but be amazed. Because I know if that happened, you got a real boost in the things of the Lord. Now, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, we read in the 12th verse. And what this really means is, when people saw all these people coming together, and as I intimated to you, they really didn't know what it was all about. All they knew was they saw the change in this man. Peter lifted up his voice, so to speak, and he answered the people. And listen to him. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why is this so astonishing to you? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Just notice Peter, faithfully, stepping out and saying, you see what happened to this man? Thank the Lord. I almost hate to mention it at this point, but I can't help but just say in passing, that would have been a wonderful time for Peter to build up his reputation, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that have been a wonderful time for people to, for Peter to sort of strut around with a feeling, now you see what kind of a preacher you've got? You can just see what kind of a man I am? Not at all. When the people came looking at Peter and gazing at him so earnestly, he just got up, as it were, and started talking. What are you looking at me like that for? And what are you giving us the credit for? And why are you so surprised to see this thing happen? This is God. The truth of the matter is that God hath taken that very same Jesus Christ whom you rejected, and you actually put him to death. He has taken him and he has glorified him. He has put him at his right hand, right in heaven itself. And he has done this thing. And what you see done to this man, this is done by the living Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I wonder what would happen if in our churches we could hear that testimony oftener. And we had a right to say, what you're seeing happening in these congregational pews, the Lord's working in the hearts of the people. What you're seeing happening in our young people's work, the Lord's doing in the hearts of the young people. What you're seeing happening in the Sunday school work, the Lord is working with the children. Peter hadn't any hesitancy about saying, this thing that so attracted you and is so wonderful to you, this is the work of the Lord. And you know, it really inclined their hearts unto him. And I have in mind, if you and I could get a chance to see that from time to time, our faith would be stronger. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to the gospel. Strengthen the preachers who preach the truth, and give the truth power in the hearts of the people, and turn men unto thee so that others might be blessed. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.